Good evening and welcome. Tonight's debate is co-sponsored by the city's Campaign Finance Board. The board is a nonpartisan, independent city agency that administers the voluntary campaign finance program, which multiplies the impact of New Yorkers' small contributions by matching them with public funds. The board also oversees debates, which are mandatory for candidates who join the program and are sponsored by media organizations selected by the board. Tonight's debate is being sponsored by New York One, New York One Noticias, WNYC Radio, the New York Daily News, Citizens Union, and Time Warner Cable. Our panelists tonight who will question the candidates are Bob Hennelly of WNYC Radio, Aaron Einhorn of the Daily News, and Juan Manuel Benitez of New York One Noticias. Let's now introduce the four candidates. The order in which they are standing and will be speaking was determined earlier today by a random drawing. And we welcome John Liu, Melinda Katz, David Weprin, and David Yatsky. Now, after opening statements and one round of questions from our panel, there will be a lightning round where candidates will only be allowed to answer yes or no to a question. There will also be a period we are calling the cross-examination, in which a candidate will be able to ask an opponent a question. If we have time, we will have more questions from our panel after those two things are completed. And we begin now with the 60-second opening statement, and we start with Mr. John Liu.
Well, thank you very much, Dominic. I want to thank you and the panelists for joining us today. I want to thank the viewers for tuning in into this important discussion for you to decide who should be the next comptroller for the city of New York. In a time when things are very difficult, we have budget cuts left and right, people losing their jobs, in some cases losing their homes, we need a comptroller who will keep the city on an even pace as we try to regain prosperity. I'm running for city comptroller, drawing on my deep knowledge of the city's operations and my professional background in finance. These are the skills that I bring to the table. I have spent most of my life, most of my career in the private sector, specifically in finance. And these are the tools that will enable me to be a great comptroller for the people of New York. This city offers so much, it promises so much. I came here as an immigrant with my family from Taiwan, got here at the age of 5. My parents gave up everything in the home country because they wanted me and my brothers to be American. And my dad worked all the time. He didn't make enough to support our family. My mom went to work in a garment factory. And when I was 7, I got my first job in that same garment factory, learning firsthand why they call that place a sweatshop. But as difficult as our struggles were, this city gave us so much. And I am going to talk a great deal more about that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Liu. And now we go to Melinda Katz.
Thank you, Dominic, and all of you for hosting this event. You know, in times of economic prosperity, perhaps it doesn't matter who the New York City Comptroller is. But in times of economic uncertainty, it does. New Yorkers deserve a comptroller as tough as they are, and that's why I'm running. I was brought up by a single dad who raised us after my mother died when I was 3. He taught us to fight hard for what we believe in. That's why I went to law school, to be able to advocate for those that simply don't have a voice. I took that expertise to Albany, and at the age of 28 years old, I took on large organizations like the HMO lobby and got better direct access to health care for all New Yorkers. I brought that toughness to the New York City Council, and for every project that came before my committee on the council, I created affordable housing. I protected New York's cherished communities, and I created good-paying jobs. I'll bring good-paying jobs. I will bring that same expertise to the New York City Comptroller's Office to protect tax dollars and to make sure that we get the city back on the right track. I'm Melinda Katz, and I'd be honored for your support.
Thank you very much, Ms. Katz. And now we turn to Mr. David Weprin.
Thank you. I, too, want to thank the sponsors for hosting this debate tonight. I am running for comptroller because I am the most qualified candidate in this race. I'm the only one that has both public sector finance experience and private sector finance experience. I was a bank regulator under Governor Mario Cuomo. I then went on to a 20-year investment banking career in public finance, and when I got elected to the City Council in 2001, I immediately became finance chair, and we've balanced 8 fiscally responsible budgets on time. But background and experience is not enough. You need vision and a plan, and I have both. I am committed to bringing the Office of Comptroller to the people through my 5-borough office plan. I'm committed to transparency in the pension process. I am also the only truly independent candidate in this race, having a proven track record of being independent from the mayor, having fought against so many different budget cuts, but having led the fight against changing term limits without your approval, something that 2 of my opponents, Melinda Katz and David Yasky, voted to overturn your rights. I'm David Wepper, and I want to be your controller.
Thank you very much. And now we have Mr. David Yasky.
Thank you, Dominic. These are tough times, and we need a controller who will stand up to the special interests and root out the waste in government spending, because if we don't, we're not going to be able to afford the things that New Yorkers rely on from their city government: police on the street and teachers in the classrooms and Meals on Wheels and senior centers. I have a record that tells New Yorkers I will do this job right. Started in the city budget office, helped Chuck Schumer pass the Brady Law and the Violence Against Women Act. 8 years in the city council delivering real results on the issues that New Yorkers care about most: affordable housing, jobs, the environment. And it's a record of standing up to the special interests, suing ExxonMobil to get them to clean up their oil spill, taking on the real estate lobby to close down the tax loophole for luxury developers. And I put the whole city budget online, www.itsyourmoney.com, so that New Yorkers can see where their money is going, because it's your money. As controller, I'll root out waste with tough audits so that we make sure every dollar is getting results. That's why the New York Times has endorsed me to be the next city controller. That's why Senator Chuck Schumer just this week endorsed me. I ask for your support, too, on primary day, September 15th.
And thank you, Mr. Yatsky. And now I will begin tonight with the first question, and it is for you, Mr. John Liu. One of the biggest news stories to come out about this race has been a Daily News report by Aaron that questioned your claim in an advertisement that you worked, and you just addressed this in your opening statement, that you worked in a sweatshop as a child. Did you exaggerate your claim? Does it matter whether or not you really worked in a sweatshop? And to the other candidates, what bearing does someone's childhood actually have on whether or not they can balance the city's books?
Well, thank you very much, Dominic. I was proud to have single-handedly raised the profile of this all-exciting race for New York City Comptroller this year. Yes, I have been very clear about my experiences as a child and what bearing that has on this office that I speak, that I seek. As a child, as I said before, I did work in a sweatshop. I worked in a factory. My mom worked harder than anybody I've known in my entire life. And she did that without hesitation so that she could provide better for me and my brothers. And this kind of experience does have a bearing on Comptroller, because my campaign motto has always been that as good as I am with numbers, and I'm definitely good with numbers, it's not just about numbers. It's about people. And if you have somebody in the comptroller's office who is only worried about the bottom line, who's going to be putting on the green eye shades every single morning, that is not the kind of leader that you need in this important office. I bring my life experiences to this job, Dominic, because they are very relevant. Because I've said time and time again that my experiences, they're not unique. They are common to millions of New Yorkers now and in the past. And it is that understanding of the struggles of people in this city, as we seek to provide equal opportunity for everybody, which is what I want to do, that it is highly relevant to this job.
Thank you, Mr. Liu. Melinda Katz.
You know, I think one of the biggest problems with this news story, and I thank you for highlighting the race, is that we're still talking about this weeks later. You know, New Yorkers are facing very difficult times, and they're struggling around their kitchen tables trying to figure out how to make ends meet. They have increased cost of living. They have joblessness that they're dealing with. And here we are talking about something that happened many years ago. Is it important? I think it's important because I think people need to know that they can trust the person that is responsible for rooting out waste in government and to create transparency in our government. But at the end of the day, we are here to do a job, which is to protect taxpayer dollars, which is to squeeze every single dollar out if we can, out of everything that goes through the city agencies. And I believe that our life experiences all create the person that we will have as city controller. I bring the experience of two levels of government, as a financial attorney, and as the chair of a committee that created jobs in this city. That's what New Yorkers care about. That's what I'll do as controller.
Thank you. Mr. Weplin.
Yeah, I think the theme of John Liu's campaign is coming here as an immigrant and working the sweatshops. My mother came here from Cuba at the age of 8, but that's not become the theme of my campaign. The theme of my campaign has been my background experience and what I'm going to do as controller. So I think if that is the theme of his campaign, and as demonstrated, and if he's raising credibility issues as to the facts of that campaign, I think it's a legitimate campaign issue.
Do you think Mr. Liu exaggerated this claim of working in a sweatshop as a child?
You know, I don't think that's even the issue. I would bring the issue as to what has he done to prevent sweatshops from happening? What has he done to prevent child labor violations? Has he reported that particular sweatshop to the legal authorities? Has he done anything in his public career to basically change that? Have you, John?
Okay, I've run my campaign.
Well, I'll come back to you. I promise.
All right.
Mr. Liu.
Thank you.
I promise. In just a second. Mr. Yatsky.
Well, look, I think the allegations raised in the Daily News are for John to explain. I do think that childhood is important. I honor the hard work of John's mother, whether it was in a sweatshop factory or piecework at home. It was still hard work. And just like hundreds of thousands, millions of immigrants have come to this city, I honor that hard work. And, of course, there is still exploitation today. You know, that's why I passed a law in the city council that makes it illegal for businesses to lock in workers overnight. There were still, believe it or not, 100 years after the Triangle Shirtwaist fire, there were still businesses in this city that would lock employees in overnight, supposedly so they wouldn't steal.
But
it meant if there was a fire, they'd be in danger.
But do you believe Mr. Liu exaggerated this claim?
Yeah, I don't know the facts. That's really,
Is it a legitimate issue to raise? Does it point to character?
It's certainly a legitimate issue for the Daily News to have raised, and it's for John to address. But you know what? I also do believe that the main issue in this race is who's got the vision for how to use a controller's office to root out waste and replace the 300,000 jobs we're losing in this recession. This is a deadly serious time. We need a controller who's up to that job. I'm running because I have a record that tells New Yorkers I will do this job right.
Mr. Liu?
Well, and in fact, my campaign theme has always been about how important the job is and the fact that I will bring my private sector financial experience along with my knowledge of the city's government to introduce financial reforms to the budget process to eliminate the ongoing waste, to use my experience as a pension actuary to restore the funds and thereby restore the confidence among our city workers and retirees, and use the full procurement powers of that office, Dominic, to ensure that people are given the equal opportunities in jobs and in contracting.
Okay, I let Mr. Liu respond. Do you want to respond, Mr. Weprin?
Yeah, but what have you done change child labor violations? And did you report that particular sweatshop to the legal authorities for prosecution?
Dave, that sweatshop that I talked about when I worked in when I was 7 years old was 35 years ago. In my years in the city council, I have been very proud to stand side by side with working with struggling people. In the aftermath of 9/11, the entire garment industry in New York City was pretty much decimated. We still have issues before Land Use Committee where we're trying to restore some of the garment the garment district right here in Midtown Manhattan. The fact of the matter is, for example, when the home care workers struggled, and they were being exploited by their workers and their employment agencies, I stood side by side with them to fight for their rights because the working people in this city deserve some kind of dignity in addition to good pay and benefits.
So it's safe to say the answer is no, that you didn't report it.
I was 7. That was 35 years ago. I didn't even know that if that sweatshop still exists. But the fact of the matter is that industry is no longer around thriving as it happened for a long time. But there are other examples of worker exploitation, such as, for example, the home care attendants that were being exploited, where I stood side by side with them to demand their rights.
Okay, we do have to move on, and we go to our panel and round one of our questions. We'll begin with Bob Hennelly.
Councilwoman Katz, one of you will face Republican candidate Joe Mendola, who has not been on the city council but has been a career compliance officer in the financial sector, certainly experience relevant to the job of controller. How would you respond to Mr. Mendola if he said being on the city council was not a reference voters should use, since that same council raised its own pay by 25% to six figures, ignored the will of voters on term limits, and continues to be the only class of city employees permitted to earn outside employment income, sometimes in the six figures? Isn't that a pretty self-serving institution?
He's never served. And the interesting part about someone who's never served is it's always easy to be on the outside looking in. But I would actually agree with him. I don't think that being on the city council is the only criteria for being city controller. I think what you do with the job is the most important thing that you can actually have. As a city councilwoman and as chair of the Land Use Committee, I've created jobs in this city. New Yorkers all over this city at a 9.6% unemployment rate are wondering how they're going to pay their bills. They have costs increased in their homes. They're having children they can't afford to pay for. They have college tuition that they can't afford. And the truth of the matter is that I face a lot of the same issues today at home. But city council members and being an elected official is not the criteria. You need to look at what someone's done. When I was a financial attorney, a mergers and acquisitions attorney for Weil, Gotshal & Manges, I brought the skill of negotiating, the skill of being a results-oriented person to Albany when I fought the HMOs. I brought that same skill to the city council to create jobs in our city. And I will do the same thing as controller to root out waste, to create jobs in this city. And quite honestly, you know, being an elected official is not the only criteria. But wanting to understand the problems that New Yorkers are facing find an answer is the issue.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Councilman.
Well, I actually agree with Joe on the background and experience, and that's why I'm running for controller, because I'm the only one in the Democratic primary that has both private sector finance experience and public sector finance experience. And, of course, I understand the feeling of the public of violating their rights to have a say in overturning term limits after the voters voted twice through two public referendums on term limits to go around and then run around the voters, as David Yaski and Melinda Katz did, is outrageous.
But just as a quick follow-up, did you ever find it a conflict that you yourself did make considerable income while you were a city council person in the financial sector? Some people have trouble with one job, never mind getting to have two.
Well, you know, I got a conflict of interest board opinion before I did any outside income, and I followed that to the letter of the law. As a matter of fact, my outside income is directly related to experience that will do well in the controller's office. I actually represented a number of municipalities in this state and saved them millions of dollars by refunding their existing bond issues through structuring certain tax-exempt bond issues. So that is relevant experience. But as controller, I will be a full-time controller.
Thank you.
Bob, I look forward to being the Democratic nominee for city controller and comparing my record of accomplishment and my vision for the controller's office to that of the Republican candidate. And I'm very proud of my record in the city council, doing just what we want a controller to do, creating jobs. We've got to bring this economy back. And I passed a film and television tax credit that has doubled the number of production days in the city. And those are good-paying jobs. Those are carpenters and teamsters and sound technicians, camera operators, just the kind of middle-class jobs we need in the city that can support a family. As controller, I'll be an economic development leader and help create a biotech sector and a green technology sector in New York to complement Wall Street. In the city council, I've taken on the special interests to get rid of wasteful spending. I put the city entire city budget online so that it's transparent, and that's what I'll do as controller. So I am very proud of my record in the city council.
Thanks very much. Councilman Liu.
Well, thank you very much. That question is highly relevant also. In the city council, I've already drawn upon my fiscal expertise to go after the Metropolitan Transportation Authority for their financial discrepancies, for the two sets of books that they put out a few years ago, for the hundreds of millions of dollars of capital funds they have left under the proverbial mattress at that agency. I've used my financial experience and experience with numbers to go after the Department of Education's incessant numbers games where they claim all sorts of different statistics in a way to confuse the public and to try to demonstrate that they in fact have accomplishments. The latest round of numbers games are so good that they don't even involve numbers. They just involve A's and B's. And for them to think that people are going to agree that almost every school in this city deserves an A or B, that is ludicrous beyond imagination.
Thanks very much.
And thank you very much, Bob. We now go to Aaron, who has a question for Mr. Weprin.
Councilman Weprin, you have been a defender of the practice of city council members distributing taxpayer dollars to community groups, charities, schools, and yet you, like many council members, including, I should say, the other three on the stage with you, have accepted campaign contributions from the board members and top executives at some of the organizations you've sent money to. Is this a conflict? And will you, as controller, factor campaign contributions in audits you may do of the city council slush fund?
Well, absolutely. As far as the audit process, I will diligently look at the audits where they go. As far as campaign contributions, I co-sponsored the bill which changed the campaign finance board to restrict contributions with people that do business with the city to, in the case of a citywide office, $400, and in the case of a local office, $250. I clearly think that a small contribution by a member of a not-for-profit that wants to participate in the process because they really feel that that person has done a good job is not a conflict. I think the conflicts come in when you're talking about, you know, the larger contributions, the $49.50, the bundling of the contributions, and that has not taken place in my campaign.
And you don't think those organizations that gave you money felt pressure in any way to give you funds either before or after receiving funds from you?
Absolutely not.
Okay, Councilman Yaski?
Well, I do think that the practice of so-called member items, having individual council members distribute funds for little leagues and senior centers, that's a bad way to do it. Now, as you say, you're right. That's the way it's done now. Senior centers and little leagues are often funded primarily by individual city council members, but there's too much potential for abuse. So even though that's what we've all done, I certainly, as controller, will push to get rid of that practice and have public funds, because you know this isn't politicians' money. This is taxpayers' money. It's the viewers. It's your money. And it should be spent in an honest, transparent, open, accountable way. That's what I will push for as controller.
Why haven't you returned campaign contributions then to organizations that you've given money to?
Well, we have followed, of course, we followed to the letter the law that that restricts campaign contributions from people doing business with the city, and I've committed to do just the same as controller.
So that's not a conflict of interest?
No, it is not.
And will you look at campaign contributions when you become controller in connection with the slush fund?
Well, I will audit the council just as I would every other agency, and I'll go further. I will push to change the budget process to get rid of the member item process.
Okay. Councilman Liu?
I certainly would use the Office of Comptroller to audit the city council in the way it gives out the discretionary funding. I would also take it a step further, Erin, as you suggested, and look at the pattern of campaign contributions. I'm proud to have been very careful about the contributions I received. Over the years, there have been executives and the leaders of organizations that I have provided funding to that have come to my fundraisers, and I have returned their contributions, explaining that it just wasn't a good idea for them to do so, even though they supported my campaign with the best of intentions. And as comptroller, I pledge to ban political contributions from anybody that does any business with the Office of the Comptroller. I've time and time again asked my rivals to make the same pledge, and to date, they have still not done so. That's a problem. It is a problem of accountability and transparency, and it is a problem where we are not getting rid of any even semblance of conflict of interest.
You say you've returned all contributions from people affiliated with organizations you've given
such
funds to?
There are examples of people who have donated large sums to my campaign that are affiliated with organizations that I have funded, and I have returned those contributions, absolutely.
Okay, we did find some that weren't returned, but we can move on.
Nothing more than token amounts, Aaron. The fact of the matter is we look at all the large contributions very carefully. Large, what by large I mean $500 or more, and that these large contributions should not be coming and have not come from organizations that have direct affiliations or leadership or executive positions within the organizations I've funded.
Councilwoman Katz?
You know, one of the problems that comes up debate after debate is how to hand out member item money, because as my colleague said, it is public money, it's your money, and it's our privilege to be able to hand it out to some of the organizations that service our constituents. I myself give, I would say, over 90% of my money to the Little Leagues in my district, to home food delivery services, to the senior centers so that seniors have a place to go every single day for a good meal and so that someone can actually see them and make sure that they are healthy and able. And I believe that that's a very good use of money. At the end of the day, we're professionals. I'm a professional. Whether someone gives me a token contribution or not, the controller's role doesn't change. It's our job to protect taxpayer dollars. It is our job to root out waste. And it is our job to create jobs in the city to make sure that people can work and to create affordable housing.
Thank you very much, Aaron. And now we turn to Juan Manuel Benitez.
Thank you, Dominic. How are you, Mr. Yasky?
I'm well, thank you.
Three of the most important issues in the last few years, turn limits, congestion pricing, Westside Stadium. Explain your positions and how those would affect your relationship with whoever the mayor might be after the election.
I thought the mayor was wrong on the Westside Stadium, and I opposed that. I thought the mayor was right on congestion pricing, and I supported that. And I supported the change in term limits, not to give the mayor a third term or anybody or myself a third term, but I do think a 12-year term limit is much better policy for the city than an 8-year term limit. And, you know, that's why in every one of those cases, I voted my principles, put the merits before the politics, and that's what I'll do as controller. You know, I believe that we need a controller who, yes, can work with a mayor as a productive partner, as I've done when I think this mayor has been right, and who can be a principal check and balance and stand up to the mayor when the mayor is wrong, as I've done repeatedly in the council. When the mayor wanted to keep tax breaks for luxury developers, I fought him on that, and we actually got those scaled dramatically back. When the mayor wanted to shut down the container port in Red Hook, which is hundreds of good-paying jobs for people without a high school degree, jobs we don't have. We don't have jobs like that in New York anymore. I led the fight to keep that port open, and it's still open. So you need somebody that can work productively, not play politics, just pick a fight for the sake of it, but also who can be a principal check and balance. That's what I've done in the council. That's what I'll do as controller.
Thank you. Mr. Luke.
Thank you. I was adamantly against the extension of term limits. For me, it was not term limits itself. I oppose term limits in principle. The issue was how you go about changing a law that was put on the books by the people through not one, but two referendums. This is not right to unilaterally change the term limits so mayors can run for third terms when it was against the law at the time. In the case of congestion pricing, I supported congestion pricing because I believe it was the long-term sustainable policy for our city to undertake, and it provided the funding that was necessary to provide additional mass transit, new lines of mass transit for people in the outer boroughs who had little choice but to drive their cars to get to work every day in Manhattan. And in the case of the Westside Stadium, that was a project that I supported because it did create jobs. It was going to create jobs. But I have to say, I do have concerns. Many years after this administration has been in place, where they've announced deal after deal, promises of thousands of jobs and thousands of housing units, and to date, few of those promises actually deliver.
Thank you, Mr. Lowe. Councilwoman Katz?
You know, one of the differences between me and my three opponents is that I actually have a very long history in serving the public. I'm on the record from 16 years ago against term limits. So I voted to extend the term simply because I didn't want to be accused of making a politically expedient vote. And I think the New Yorkers deserve that from their controller. On congestion pricing, I voted against congestion pricing. I stood up to the mayor to vote against congestion pricing because I think that it was the right thing to do. I don't believe anyone should have to pay extra to go into any neighborhood in this great city of New York. On the Westside Stadium, I was thinking that it might go through my committee. So although I was against it, I did make no public opinion on it, but I was against it, and I think that it was the wrong thing to do for that area of the city. The real question, though, is standing up to this mayor. I have a history of standing up to this mayor. When it came to education, when they instituted the third grade test in the Department of Education, I sued the Department of Education with the parents. I stood up to the mayor on this.
Sorry to cut you off.
And voted against the sales tax increase.
Great. Mr. Weber?
Yes. What was done on term limits was outrageous. The public should have had an opportunity to have had a say. Whether you're for term limits or against term limits is not relevant. To have voted to deprive the voters of the democratic process was wrong, as I mentioned Councilman Yasky and Councilmember Katz did. So I strongly oppose that. I was one of the leaders of the fight against that. As far as congestion pricing, I was also one of the leaders of the fight against congestion pricing. Not that I supported congestion in Manhattan. I did not. I actually had a 10-point plan to really reduce congestion, but it wasn't anything about congestion. It was all about the money. It was a regressive tax that would have disproportionately affected small businesses, the middle class, and would have discriminated against the other boroughs outside of Manhattan. Also, on the Jet Stadium, I was actually a very strong supporter of the Jet Stadium, something I think Mayor Bloomberg probably has forgotten by now. But in any case, I supported it because of the jobs and because of the fact that it would really have only been 8 Sundays during the year, as well as possibly 2 playoff games, so it would not have produced a major congestion problem, and there was no parking. So people that argued it's going to be a major congestion problem didn't take into consideration that there was no parking, so people would have had to take public transportation.
Thank you so much. And I don't know if we have a little time, because Mr. Yaski wasn't that happy with the councilwoman's response.
No, you were okay.
I thought you were gesturing.
I have no objection.
No, but I wasn't okay, told.
I disagreed with some of the positions, but no, I'm.
You're okay.
She's entitled to her positions.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Juan. And now it is time for our lightning round, where I will ask questions that can only be answered with the words yes or no by the candidates.
Is that possible?
All 4 candidates will be required to answer the questions. We start with Mr. Liu. Have you ever gambled at a casino?
Yes.
Ms. Katz?
Yes.
Mr. Weprin?
Yes.
Mr. Yaski?
Yes.
Outstanding.
Ms. Katz, have you ever bounced a personal check?
No.
Mr. Weprin?
Probably.
Yes. Mr. Yaski?
Yes.
Mr. Liu?
Yes, I have.
Mr. Weprin, do you have any personal finance investments with Bernard Madoff?
No.
Mr. Yaski?
No.
Mr. Liu?
No. I don't have that much money.
Yeah. No.
Mr. Yaski, did you vote for Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton in last year's presidential race?
Yes.
Mr. Liu?
No.
Ms. Katz?
Yes.
Mr. Weprin?
No.
Mr. Liu, do you pay sales tax on any online purchases?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Katz?
Yes.
Mr. Weprin?
I don't make online purchases.
So, no
purchases.
Okay. Mr. Yatsky?
I'm trying to remember the last time I made an online purchase. I will check with my wife and daughters who make most of our online purchases in our family. Yeah, honestly, it's been a while.
So you haven't made any online purchases yourself?
Dave, your wife is saying no.
No, she's saying no. I haven't. She's the Amazon customer in the family.
Okay, Ms. Katz, would you support Andrew Cuomo over Governor Patterson in a Democratic primary?
No.
Mr. Weprin?
No.
Mr. Yaski?
No.
Mr. Liu?
No.
Mr. Weprin, do you employ domestic help like a housekeeper or a nanny?
Yes.
Mr. Yaski?
A babysitter, yes.
Mr. Liu?
No, although I wish I would.
Ms. Katz?
Yes.
Mr. Yatsky, have you ever been personally audited by the IRS?
I don't believe so, no.
Mr. Liu?
I'm very clear I have not been, and if I had been audited by the IRS, I certainly would know. The answer is no.
Ms. Katz?
No.
Mr. Weprin?
Yes.
Mr. Liu, was Bill Thompson a better controller than Alan Hevesy?
Yes.
Ms. Katz?
Yes.
Mr. Weprin?
Yes.
Mr. Yatsky?
Yes.
Ms. Katz, have you ever listened to a song by Beyonce?
Yes.
Mr. Weprin?
Yes.
To the left.
To the left, to the left. Come on. Everything you own in the box to the left, please. Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Liu?
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever done a debate where candidates start singing a song.
Well, we're having fun here. The lightning round brings
up. I concede to Councilmember Katz.
Yeah, can we decide the winner that way? I'd be happy to.
Well, she can only sing if I were a boy, credibly, yes.
Mr. Weprin. Should South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson be disciplined for speaking out in the middle of President Obama's address?
Yes.
Mr. Yatsky.
Yes.
Mr. Lewis.
Yes, absolutely.
Ms. Katz.
Yes.
Mr. Yatsky, have you ever played Monopoly in the last 5 years?
Yes.
Mr. Liu.
Yes.
In the last 5 weeks.
Ms. Katz.
Yes.
Mr. Wepper.
Yes.
We have two final questions, and we turn to you, Mr. Liu, on this one. Considering he's about to make history, should Derek Jeter go down in history as the greatest New York Yankee of all time?
Yes, but I'm a Met fan. I'm from Flushing.
Ms. Katz.
Yes.
Mr. Wepperin.
No.
Mr. Yatsky.
No.
Final question of the night in terms of our lightning round. We start with you, Ms. Katz, on this one. If the mayor resigns as controller, would you seriously consider running for mayor in that special election?
No.
Mr. Wepperin.
No.
Mr. Yatsky.
I'll say yes, but it depends. In the first week, no. In the third year and 50th week, I don't know.
So your official answer is yes.
Yes.
Mr. Liu.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, that concludes our lightning round, and now it's time for what we call the cross-examination. That is when a candidate will be allowed to ask a question of an opponent. The answer will be limited to 60 seconds, and we begin with Mr. John Liu.
Oh, thank you very much, Dominic. I think I will direct the question to my buddy, Dave Yatsky. Dave, given that in this uncertain time, the Office of Comptroller is so important, we really need to have consistency there. But on the issue of term limits, unlike Melinda, who actually was going to vote for the extension from the beginning, you promised a group of us, city council members, fighting the efforts of the mayor to overturn the term limits. You promised us that you would oppose it. And then at the last minute, you voted in favor of the extension of term limits. You now say that you want to ban discretionary funding. But according to the Daily News, you are the number three person. You've given out more discretionary funding, more than 48 out of 51 council members. And now in the middle of a campaign, you want to eliminate, ban discretionary funding. Is that consistent? Are there consistency issues there?
My record is one of thorough consistency. And, you know, on the term limits, just to correct the facts, I always said that the better way to do it is by referendum. That's why I introduced an amendment to push for that. But I've also always believed a 12-year limit is much better than an 8-year limit. And, you know, on the question of member items and discretionary funds, I've been on record from my first days in the council saying it's a bad way to distribute funds, indeed publish an op-ed in the New York Post saying so, well before I was running for this. So consistency. But, you know, I just want to say something to viewers at home, because we're 5 days away from this election, and we've already started to see the kind of politics you get in the last week of an election, and unfounded charges and attacks in the mail and on the radio. I just want to make sure that voters know what's really at stake here is who has the record and the vision for this office to do this critically important job over the next 4 years. We've got a $5 billion budget gap. We're going to have to figure out how to keep the police on the street and how keep picking up the garbage and keep the homeless shelters open without going back to the taxpayers. That's a big job. That's what this debate should be about, not about these kind of personal charges.
No, but these aren't personal charges. I mean, these are very real issues of consistency in this important position. You told Dick Daly, who's sitting right here with us, that you would not vote in favor of the extension of term limits. How could you say you're against discretionary funding when, in fact, you gave up more than 48 out of 51 members in discretionary funding, according to the Daily News? These are real issues, and they are issues that voters have to consider.
Do you want to respond to that, Mr. Yatsky, or you don't?
Well, I think I have, but okay. I will say again to voters, there are real issues at stake here. How are we going to create jobs in this city? How are we going to get rid of the waste and take on the special interests that are behind a lot of that wasteful spending? How are we going to deal with the fact that most capital projects by the city go almost 100% over budget? So that means we can't do all the infrastructure we need. These are serious issues, Dominic, in this very serious time. And I guess I just want to make sure that the voters are focused on what's really at stake.
Thank you very much. And now it's Melinda Katz's turn to ask her question.
You know, before I ask my question, I really have to just agree with Councilman Yatsky. I think this campaign has been a very positive campaign so far. Clearly, in the last few weeks, there's already negative attacks from I think if you have nothing else to say, you simply attack your opponents. And I do think that that is a very sad state of affairs when New Yorkers are sitting around their kitchen trying to figure out how to educate their children, pay their bills, when they're going to lose their job. Unemployment is rising. And I do believe that New Yorkers deserve better from their elected officials.
Well, Ms. Katz,
so my question
who's doing
is,
this attacking?
I have no idea. You know why I have no idea, Dominic? Because it's anonymous.
Who do you believe is doing the
attack? I
have
no idea, but you know what? At the end of the day, I don't think New Yorkers care either. I think that they are so sick and tired of politicians throwing mud at each other and not answering questions that deserve to be answered. And you know what? They're right. They deserve a politician, an elected official that does better by them. And it really is a very, very sad time in our history when they can't expect more from their elected officials.
This time my head nodding was because I agree with that.
Yes, thank you. I do have a question for Councilman Yaski as well. I know that he talks a lot about Wall Street and has ties there. And just recently in the New York Times on the front page, and you're endorsed by the New York Times, so I know you probably read the article. There was an article about monetizing.
It's true. I was endorsed by the New York Times.
Yes. You know, I heard that, which is why I know you're up to date on the article.
Again, my vigorous head nodding was because I agree that I was endorsed by the New York Times.
But there was an article on the front page of the New York Times last Sunday, and it was an extremely upsetting article. And it was all about Wall Street. And it was all about how Wall Street, once again, was going to monetize things that people care deeply about. And it was all about how they were going to monetize life insurance policies to get money when folks die quicker. And so, Councilman Yaski, I'm just curious as to your views on it and whether there is a conflict of interest at all when dealing with that as the controller.
Well, I do think that the expertise that I've assembled in this campaign does say something about who's in the best position to run the city pension funds. I have to tell you honestly, I'm not quite sure how that issue pertains to this race, but I do believe that the next controller has got to manage the pension funds in a way that is not just with honesty and integrity, but in the most competent way possible, drawing on the wealth of financial talent in this city to make sure that the pension funds get a good sound return. And let me explain why that's true. First, you've got police officers and firefighters and city employees who worked hard their whole lives. They're counting on those pension funds. And second, when the funds fall short, it's the taxpayers that have to make up the difference, or it comes out of the city budget, which means we don't have enough left over for teachers in classrooms and for the services that New Yorkers are relying on. So I guess I'm proud that I will bring to this campaign, bring to the office a group of financial advisors who will make sure that we're doing well.
May I?
Go ahead, quickly.
I'll tell you how it pertains to this office. New York City's pension funds is worth $82 billion. These are Wall Street folks that want to make a dollar off of the fact that you die early. They're buying life insurance policy. And then what they're doing is they're paying the premiums. And then at the end of the day, if you die earlier, they get more money. Okay. I will commit not to invest New York City pension funds in this clearly outrageous practice.
Okay, I'm going to Mr. Weprin, but I just want a quick follow-up, Ms. Katz. You refer to attacks, anonymous attacks in this race. What form are they coming in?
There are calls going around the city of New York against candidates. There are radio announcements against, I think the three of us. But I do know that there's anonymous calls going around the city of New York. And I will say that if there is a tax to be had, people should own up to them.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Mr. Weprin, it is time for your question.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Councilmember Katz a question. But before I do that, I agree also that any attack should not be anonymous. And I will say publicly that I have nothing to do with any anonymous attack because I'm willing to go on the record on anything I say negatively about my opponents.
Well, who do you believe is behind these attacks?
I have no idea, but I have a record of going on the record. But I'm going to ask the question to Melinda. Melinda, how can you be independent of the real estate industry when your finance committee, which is on your website, is who's who in the Real Estate Board of New York, including Charles J. Erstadt, who is actually the author of the Erstadt Law, that you actually agreed to be a co-sponsor of repealing, and all of the council members are in favor of repealing?
You know, The interesting part about this is that raising money is probably the worst thing that politicians have to do. Elected officials loathe doing it. I have raised money from the same folks, as I might add, as all four of the candidates up here. The difference between me and my opponents is I've raised money from an industry that I've stood toe-to-toe against in every single project that's gone through my committee. I've raised money from an industry who had to sit in a room, and by the way, not happy with me a lot of the times, and squeeze every single dollar I could to create affordable housing in this city, to create prevailing wage jobs in this city, and also, by the way, to protect 9,000 blocks of our cherished neighborhoods in the city of New York. No one likes raising money, and we've all raised it from the exact same people. The difference is I have a record of standing up to folks and many times not happy. And I will say this, at the end of the day, they feel that I am the best steward for the economy of this city to move it forward and to create jobs in this city, and I'm not running away from that.
Except for the fact, Melinda, that because you chair the committee that regulates the real estate industry, that's why it's improper for you to get a majority of your contributions from that industry and also to sponsor special legislation for the billboard industry after a huge fundraiser for you by the CEO of the major billboard company.
You know, David, as chair of the finance committee, I know looking through your contributions that we probably don't want to have this discussion.
I'm willing to have the discussion.
Ultimately, what it is about being the controller of the city of New York. Ultimately, saying that I'm chair of the land use committee, so therefore I shouldn't take money, is a cheap shot. And I am the one who sits toe-to-toe with the developers to create the housing. And if you live in a community where the guy next door is building a 10-story apartment building where there used to be a single house there, chances are very good that I was the one who sponsored the legislation to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And those are the proudest moments that I have as chair of the Land Use Committee.
I just want to make sure that people understand she was not talking about me building those apartment buildings. But it is also just that, you know, I don't want anybody to take any cheap shots. I certainly have not drawn from the same contributors as you implied.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Weprin. It is now time for your question, Mr. Yatsky.
Thank you. My question is for David Weprin. I believe that one of the many good things that Bill Thompson has done as controller is to look for investments, pension fund investments, that also benefit New York City while bringing a good return, in particular, affordable housing. I think that his pilot project of investing in affordable housing is something that we should expand on because even, and maybe especially in these tough times, affordable housing is one of the biggest issues facing the city. We have to make sure that New Yorkers can afford a decent place to live. I believe that we should expand on Bill Thompson's efforts to create more affordable housing through the controller's office. Do you agree with that?
I actually do agree with it. I also think that we should be reviewing asset allocation on a much more regular basis, and certainly there is room for alternative investments and in a small percentage, and certainly affordable housing is a very positive goal and something that I would look to do.
No follow-up?
No, I think we're in agreement on this one.
Okay, all right. Well, we're now going to go back to our panel for as many questions as we can fit in the remaining time that we have. So I turn to you, Bob, for the next question.
Thanks, and I guess this one goes to Councilman Liu. As city controller, you'll be the chief fiscal watchdog acting as a check on both the mayor and the city council excesses. Do you think that Controller Thompson was missing in action when it came to detecting the multi-million-dollar scandal involving city council discretionary grants that Speaker Quinn has said was a standard practice for years? Doesn't it reflect badly on the municipal government and New York's own internal fiscal controls, including the Office of City Controller, that it took the U.S. attorney to ferret it out?
I think there was a problem there and that more people should have been paying attention to this problem. I certainly had no knowledge of fictitious organizations that were being funded through the city's budget that certainly the speaker and the mayor's office certainly knew about. The fact of the matter is immediately when this came to light, I recommended a number of changes to the way we disclose discretionary funding in the city council and insisted that the mayor do the same thing because, after all, we have seen that the mayor's discretionary funds are far larger in amounts. And so as comptroller, to answer your question, Bob, I will look very carefully at the discretionary funding that exists, at any patterns of contributions, any patterns of even legislative actions that take place in the legislative body. And I will do the same with the executive branches. I will use the comptroller's office to root out no-bid contracts, which is what discretionary funding is at the essence
of. But Comptroller Thompson's performance, I know you've all supported him, but what is your assessment as a numbers person on his performance in this regard?
Bob, I will be far more aggressive when it comes to ruling out this kind.
His performance, was it acceptable, or did he fail on that?
I think Bill could have done better.
I think it's unfortunate in government that sometimes we fix things after we find things wrong. And I think in this particular case, this is a case where clearly, we had issues at the council funding, and we are going to have to look at that. What we need to do is that the controller needs to look at every single agency, not only the city council, but we need to look at education. We need to make sure to find out why it is that our kindergarten children have no room in their schools. And if you have a child in kindergarten, you know what I mean. You're probably on a waiting list and have to go across town for your child to go to school. If you have someone in the senior center, you know that there is a problem with privatizing our senior centers all across the city of New York. And right now, thousands of people are waiting at home for meals from a public proposal that probably is not saving $1, but it's making seniors very unhappy and, quite honestly, at times hungry. And so you need to root out waste at every single level of government. I plan on doing that. New Yorkers need to know where the money of the city of New York is going, including the council.
Okay, but Controller Thompson's performance, A, B, C, D, E, F, in this regard, is a very important issue.
I think B minus.
Yeah, the whole nature of slush fund and other potentially illegal actions or unethical actions is secrecy. The people that are doing these things don't want anybody else to know. So by nature, it's not something that's easy to discover. However, as controller, I will aggressively audit the city council. And the key is transparency, openness in government, and to make the process more transparent. Did Controller Thompson not do a good job on it? Could he have done a better job? Surely he could have done a better job. I think everyone could have done a better job. I would give him a B, but once the issue came to light, I think Controller Thompson looked at it, as did other authorities, and let the chips fall where they may.
Councilman?
Yes, the controller should have caught this practice earlier. And that's why we need budget reform, not just to get rid of member items, but the whole budget process should be much more transparent. I hope viewers will go to my website, davidyaske.com, and you'll see the budget reform proposals I've laid out there to make the entire process much more transparent, much more open, not a budget worked out behind closed doors and then one yes or no vote that the council takes, but each item should be voted on by the relevant committee, just like Congress does. It's a better process. I've laid that all out on my website. And plus, we shouldn't have these giant units of appropriation, they're called. In other words, shouldn't put $2 billion to an agency with no restrictions on how they use it. That lets the money slosh around during the year. We should have a program-by-program budget so New Yorkers can see, because it is your money, they can say, here's what we're spending, and here are the results that we're getting. We should have transparency and openness throughout the budget process.
And thank you, Mr. Yatsky, and thank you now, Bob. We turn to you, Aaron, for the next question.
Okay. Councilwoman Katz, you may or may not have bounced a check. Have you made any other financial mistakes? Have you been called by a collector? Have you run up credit card debt? Can you tell us your biggest financial personal mistake and how you dealt with it?
There was a time that I was in college, like many college kids today, and there are credit card people standing at almost every campus just dying to get their business. And unfortunately, I fell for it. And I did have a massive credit card debt when I was in college, and I have paid it off since, while paying off student loans. So I was doing both at the same time. But if I could think of my main financial mistake, that was it.
Okay. Councilman Wepper.
Well, that bouncing of that check, since it's not a yes or no question, was a very, very long time ago, because I've had Checking Plus for quite a few years. And since having Checking Plus, I've never bounced a check. So it goes back to that early days before Checking Plus.
What was your biggest personal finance mistake?
I don't think I have one that comes to mind. Bouncing checks before Checking Plus.
Okay, Councilman Yaski.
My biggest financial mistake was not marrying my wife sooner, because she's the fiscal expert. But look, I like everybody, we have health insurance claims that we didn't file because we didn't get around to it. That's money should have come in. No big mistakes, honestly, but like everybody, little things. But, you know, that's the best I can remember.
Okay. Councilman Liu?
Well, I would say that when I was a teenager, I had a lot of different kinds of jobs, and I took a sulking when I ordered a huge stash of holiday cards that they were promising me I would make a whole lot of money. I wound up selling so few of those holiday cards that it was almost an entire loss. But it taught me a very important lesson that as far as the entrepreneurial spirit goes, you know, you have to work hard at it. Sometimes you have to be realistic about projections and not simply get spoon-fed the lines by the companies that really want your money. But I think in this day and age, there are a lot of scams that are out there. And as comptroller, this is something that I would look at with regard to the financial institutions that exist today. And then I wanted to ask one of your questions, which is that have I ever been called by a collection agency? I have, Aaron, not because of anything that I did wrong, but because there are like a dozen different John Lews in the phone book, and I'm constantly getting calls from companies telling me to pay my credit card bills, otherwise they're going to sick the collection agencies.
Okay, and in fairness, we're going to Juan Manuel just 1 second for the final quick question. Well, Mr. Wepper and Mr. Yatsky, have you ever been called by a collection agency for something in your financial background? Mr. Wepper.
Well, actually, I was, and I actually introduced a bill in the city council to crack down on these unscrupulous collection agencies, because this was a $28 bill from about 20 years ago, which was an unreimbursed medical claim from a hospital.
Okay. Mr. Yatsky.
No, I don't. No.
Okay. All right. We have about 2.5 minutes left, so we have to be a quick question
and
quick answers. Go right ahead.
Norman Siegel, he was here 2 days ago. He's one of your party's candidates for public advocate. He wants the controller to be the number two in the city power structure. He would like the controller to be the one, in case the mayor is incapacitated, to be the one in power and the one like calling for the special election. Would you like to be, Mr. Wepper, number two in the city power structure?
You know, I'm only running for controller. I'm not using this as a stepping stone, as some of my opponents are, running for whatever office is convenient and as a stepping stone for mayor. So the answer is no. I'm very happy with the public advocate being the succession.
Mr. Wepper, who's using this as a stepping stone?
Well, a number of my opponents have run for other offices, and
who are you referring to?
Well, Councilman Yaski ran for district attorney and for Congress. Councilman Liu is running for an undecided citywide office for a couple of years until he decided to run for public advocate, and then decided to switch from public advocate right after Mark Reed entered the race.
Thank you, Mr. Yaski.
I think maybe the Speaker of the Council should be the second. That's a person who has maybe the most kind of day-to-day experience that's like the mayor's, who's also an elected official, although the speaker's elected only by one council district. Maybe that's would be the better one.
And I'm sorry, but are you using this office as a stepping stone, like Mr. Weprin just said?
No.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Liu?
I think that the probability that something happens to the mayor is very, very low. It's never happened in recent times.
Yeah, but do you want to be number two in the city power structure? Do you want that position, that function of the public advocate?
I think it would make sense for the comptroller to do that, because the comptroller is in a very large executive capacity running an agency of 700 people. And to answer your question that you're going to ask me, no, I'm certainly not using this as a stepping stone. Comptroller is an office that I'm professionally trained for. I've got a deep understanding of the city's operations. And I'm good
thank
with numbers. I went
yes.
to the Bronx
thank
High School
you.
Of Science.
Thank
and
you very much. We don't have
15
that much time.
Seconds left for Ms. Katz.
Whoever's second in command, New Yorkers should get to decide as soon as possible who the next mayor is going to be. There should be a public election, and they should be the deciders of that.
So you don't want to take that and function out from the public advocate's office?
Not as long as New Yorkers are able to decide as soon as possible who the next mayor is.
Thank you.
Juan, we thank you very much for that question. And that concludes tonight's debate. I would like to thank our panelists and, of course, the candidates.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, of course, we'd all like to thank WNYC Radio for allowing us the use of their beautiful space here. Again, thank you and good night.